First of all, I want to say thank you. I know that the weather is not the most agreeable today, but thank you for coming out and for being here. And I pray that God will bless us as we look to His Word. I invite you to turn within your Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. There are literally hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament concerning the coming of our Lord, the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God foretold from the very beginning when He cast Adam and Eve out of the garden that He would send His Son. And throughout those some 4,000 years or so that took place during the Old Testament times, time after time, God would repeat to His people, I'm sending my Son. I'm sending the Messiah. The Savior is coming, over and over and over. And this probably, especially at this time of the year, but probably in the all of the Old Testament, this is probably one of the most remembered, the most used prophecies concerning our Lord. And I've used it several times throughout the Christmas season. And quite honestly, every time that I do, every time that I go back and reread it, there's something new that comes to me, something that's not new, but something new to me as I read it. And I pray that the Lord will bless me to be able to share with you what I see in these verses today. Isaiah chapter 9, starting with verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, some people take out the comma between Wonderful and Counselor, and I don't have a problem with that either, because He is the Wonderful Counselor. He is the Wonderful Mighty God. He is the Wonderful Everlasting Father, and He is the Wonderful Prince of Peace. But He is more than wonderful. He is, and that's just the word to describe. He is wonderful. Everything about Him. Verse 7. Of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. May the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His Word. And I trust you've been praying and will continue to pray. I won't go ahead with further audible prayer just now, but I do ask that God will bless our hearts to receive the peace that's found within these two passages. First of all, just a brief comment about verse 7. Verse 7 talks about Him being upon the throne of David. Now, that is a spiritual throne that is being spoken of. They were looking for Him to come, and I'll talk about this more in just a few moments. But they were looking for a king to come, a literal king to come, and to sit upon the throne. They thought there would be one that would be born of majesty, one that would be born of riches, earthly things. As Brother Brian was saying, sometimes we let those things kind of cloud out the true meaning of it. They were looking for a literal king to come. And so therefore, when Jesus was born, and He was born to common folk like you and I, then it didn't kind of throw them off. It threw them off completely, because they were expecting something to be one way, and God performed it a completely different way. But this government, this authority that is His, the throne of David. And this came into my mind, so I'm not going to try to go too far down this rabbit trail, but it came into my mind while I was reading it just now. The throne of David. David was established as king of Israel at a time when there was absolute and complete upheaval in the nation. Saul had been king. You remember how Saul was? He was one that he went astray. And the whole nation went with him. And then, God gave him gave them that king because they wanted to be like all the other nations. And so He gave them a king like all the other nations had. But He had one in store for them that was going to sit upon the throne, and that was David. And so when David was established as king, there was a peace that came over the nation that they hadn't experienced in a while. In fact, they hadn't experienced it for a long while. But there was a peace that came because God's man was upon the throne. And so when he talks about that this one that's coming will sit upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, not David's kingdom, but his kingdom, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, that righteousness, peace, and joy, he's the one that is the author and the finisher of that. He is the one who provides it. He's the one who puts it in place. He's the one who empowers it in our hearts and in our minds. So as we think about the purpose that was going to be given to him, first of all, let us look at verse 6 at the things that was written concerning this coming child. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. You know, there's something about the birth of a child. There's just something about a baby. There's something that is just precious that I want to share this with you. It's something that happened in our Bible study class. I was holding Emerson. And I noticed people were smiling. I thought they were smiling at me. Nah. She's cuter. But there's something about... Corey said amen. There's something about a baby. There's something that just brightens. There's something that puts a smile. There's something that puts a light in the room when there's a baby there. There's something about a baby that makes adults act babyish. There's something about a baby that makes adults talk funny. There's something about a baby that makes adults act funny. There's something about a baby that changes us. So when he says unto us, a child is born, automatically there is a sense of hope. There's a sense of peace. There's a sense of joy that comes just at the fact that a baby is going to be born. It's good news that a child is going to be born. Then he goes on to say, and unto us a son is given. And ladies, no offense, but in that day and time, there was something about a man-child. A man-child being born into a family. There was something that it was just the tradition, it was the manner of that day that a son being born was the crowning glory of any father. And so he starts out by saying there's going to be a child that's born. It's going to be a son. And his name's going to be called Wonderful. Now that's a funny name for a boy, isn't it? there's the old song, a boy named Sue, but a boy named Wonderful. But he wasn't talking about the fact that would be his name, but the very mention of his name would be Wonderful. There's something about... Is it Bill Gates that wrote the song, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus? There's just something about that name. It's a name above all names. It's a name that's given under heaven and among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other way other than through Jesus Christ, through His shed blood. His name shall be called Wonderful. And those of us that we understand what He has done for us, the very mention of the name of Jesus should give us that peace. To know that Jesus is with us. To know that the other things that we're going to talk about that is attributed to Him and given to Him, it's wonderful when you know that no matter what's happening in your life, Jesus has said, I'm with you. I'm never leaving. I'm not walking away. I'm not backing out. I'm not turning. I'm not changing my mind. There's nothing going to change about who I am and what I'm able to do for you. I'm with you no matter what. There's something wonderful about the name of Jesus. But when he talks about his name, referring back to the Son, his name is called Wonderful. And much like many other words in the English language, I think wonderful is overused. I think it's abused sometimes. You know, how many times has somebody come up to you and told you something that either happened or is going to happen? And, you know, it's okay. But sometimes we say, oh, that's wonderful. When really it's good. it's okay, it's all right, I'm happy for you. But when you think about the word wonderful, filled with wonder, let's face it, in our lives today, there's very few things that come along that cause us to be filled with wonder and amazement. We lose that, don't we? A child has that. Something that comes into their life, something that's brand new to them. Their eyes pop open. Sometimes their mouth comes open. A gasp, a smile, a laugh. There's something about it that just absolutely fills them and overwhelms them with wonder and amazement and awe. And quite honestly, and I think today was pretty typical. When even for us adults sometimes, what does Christmas mean to you? You know, sometimes the first words out of our mouth is the hustle and the bustle and all the shopping and crowds. Oh, and there's some pretty lights. Getting together with family and with friends. And but sometimes even the thought of Christmas has lost its wonder to us. It's lost its amazement to us because we've become misfocused on what it's about. We really have. If we just admit it, we've really sometimes lost the true meaning of what Christmas is all about. But it's something that should still fill us with wonder. It should fill us with amazement. Turn with me, if you will. I've been trying to interject just a little bit of the Christmas story each week leading up to our time of celebration. But Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. This is the time when the angel appeared to Mary. I'm going to read just a few selected verses. Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now, again, the amazement that filled Mary at this moment should also fill us right now. Because the words, as I read them this morning, I realized the words that the angel said to Mary, God has spoken to you and He's spoken to me through His Word time after time after time again. The Lord is with thee. That was the first announcement that was given to Mary. The Lord is with thee. I don't know, maybe I should leave you all out of this and just say, sometimes I'm afraid that I'm guilty of that not being an amazing thing to me. I don't know, y'all may say, well, we don't need you anymore if that's the way you are. But I'm just being perfectly honest with you. With all the things that we have, the push buttons, the Instamatic, you know, you put your coffee in the microwave or the water or the tea or whatever that you're heating up, or take a frozen biscuit out of the freezer and put it in there, and 30 seconds later, you know, because you've pushed the button, you get results immediately. I'm going to tell you, I don't want to have to do without a microwave. I don't want to have to do without my cell phone. I've gotten so reliant upon that. I don't want to have to do without my car. I don't want to have to do it without a lot of things. But I'm going to tell you, the most reliant one that we should have in our life, the one that we should rely upon the most, is not something made with man's hands. And the one that we should be all in awe of. You know, I enjoy watching, I shared this with somebody just this past week, I enjoy watching the programs where they go out and they buy an old car that's full of rust, tires are flat on it. I love to watch that and watch them rebuild that car, and then they turn around and when they show it at the end, it looks brand new, though it's maybe 60 years old. And I think, without realizing what I'm thinking in my mind, I'm in awe of how that they do that. How that they take a vehicle that's filled with rust and just completely make it look brand new. But I'm going to tell you something that's more wonderful than that. Jesus took an old, beat up, broken down, worthless piece of dirt named Steve Taylor and renewed and revived and changed and turned around. That's the wonder of it all, is that Jesus would love me, that Jesus would restore me, that Jesus would take me and make something new out of that which is worn down. The Lord is with you. Not only was He with Mary, but He's with you. Down to verse 30. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary. And put your name in there. Because God has said that from Genesis through Revelation, the message over and over and over is, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Why? The Lord is with thee." There's so many instances in the Bible where that God called upon one of His servants to do something and they kind of shrunk back to say, "I can't do that." And He would say, "But I'm with you." And aren't we all like that? We shrink back and say, "I can't do that," but God says, "But I'm with you. Fear not, Mary, I'm with you. For thou hast found favor with God." You are a favored person with God. What is the definition for grace? Is it not the unmerited favor of God? The unearned favor of God? You didn't do anything, yet God bestowed favor. You are favored with God. You are. Yes, I know He used Mary, and I know He used her for a particular purpose. But I'm going to tell you, He uses you for a particular purpose also. I may not get past wonderful today. He uses you for a particular purpose. He has called you for a particular purpose. I really feel the need to say this. We often hear Mary referred to as the Mother of God. She is not the Mother of God. If she was the Mother of God, then she is God, because she would have been before God, right? She's not the Mother of God, but God used her as a vessel to be the Mother of His Son. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Remember, Jesus is referred to as the Son of God, which God is His Father, but He's also referred to as the Son of Man. Mary is His mother, but not the Mother of God. He existed long before Mary was even thought about, except in the heart of God. I don't want to get sidetracked with that, but I want us to understand something. I don't want us to elevate Mary up to an idol. Mary is not to be worshipped. Mary was a vessel used by God to bring His Son into the world. But guess what? You are a vessel that God will use to bring the message of His Son into the world. You are highly favored. You are graced by God. That is a wonderful thing to me. I can just hear the wonder in the Apostle Paul. And again, I'm going to say this, Paul gets a bad rap. But I can just hear the wonder in Paul's voice as he was writing to Timothy. And he talked about that God hath put me in the ministry. I can just hear him stressing that. He put me in the wonder of it all. Me, I who am chief of sinners, God put me in the ministry. He gave me this message. He gave me this precious opportunity. He's wonderful. Fear not. Put your name there. For you have found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb. You'll conceive in your heart and bring forth a son. Remember, a child is born, a son is given. It's a particular reference back to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. You're going to bring forth this son that Isaiah wrote about some 700 years before this. And you'll call his name Jesus. Down to verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be? Do you remember Moses when God said, I'm sending you back to Egypt? You're going to bring my people out? Moses said, how can I do that? God said, you're going to go in front of Pharaoh and you're going to speak to... Oh, no, no, not me. I'm the one who didn't like to give book reports in school. I'm the one that when I stand in front of people, my mouth tightens up. My tongue freezes. I can't say a word. How shall this be? Maybe you've asked that same question when God put something on your heart to do. You say, how can I do that? Mary said the same thing. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Again, the purpose for Mary was to bring his son into the earth. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest. How can you do what God calls you to do? Through the power of the highest. The power of God. He's the one who gives you the leadership. He's the one who gives you the power through His Holy Spirit, His presence with you. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing, isn't that something? Isn't that some kind of a reference? That holy thing? Have you ever heard a mother refer to her baby as a thing? Now, that thing was born the other day. We don't refer to a baby as a thing, do we? But listen, with Jesus, a little bit, that's not a little bit different, it's vastly different, because that holy thing that was born to Mary is God in flesh. So how else would you describe it? He put it in a way that Mary kind of have some idea of how to fathom this. That holy thing which shall be born of thee, a child shall be born, a son shall be given. Mary, you're the one. You're the one that I'm going to use to bring this son, this child, into the world. That holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. With God. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Does that mean that everything that we ask God for, He's going to give? No. But with God, nothing is impossible. So we don't ever discount the power of God. But at the same time, we want to be in the will of God. So therefore, we look to Him because He is one who is filled with wonder and amazement, and He fills us with wonder and amazement because His name should be called Wonderful. He's the Counselor. I'm just going to go here and through the rest of these. Counselor. Now, to be a counselor, you have to be able to listen, and you have to be able to communicate with words, right? That's a requirement. If you can't communicate, and that's the one thing that I try, and I'm not saying that I'm successful at it, but one thing that I try to pray about is, Lord, give me the words that I can speak that can be understood. I think I've shared this with you before, but you know, young preachers get, I start to say we, but I'm not young anymore. But when I was young, I got a lot of advice. Some of it asked for, some of it not asked for. But one piece of advice that has stuck with me through the years was the former pastor of the first church that I served, a very dear, precious man. And he said, Brother Steve, if you'll preach where that the youngest person in the congregation can get something and understand what you're saying, everybody will get something out of what you're saying. But if you preach way up here, there might be one or two, maybe one or two, that would understand you, and the rest will go away saying, what in the world did he say? In order to be a counselor, in order to be a preacher, a teacher, in anything that we go about doing, a supervisor on the job, whatever it is that we do, we have to be able to let our thoughts be known and expressed. And He's the wonderful Counselor. Jesus said it this way, "My sheep hear My voice." And so we hear. We don't always, I'm afraid to say, we don't always heed His voice, but we hear His voice. And He speaks in very plain terms if we would listen. He puts it in language that we know. He puts it in language that we understand. Because He's the wonderful Counselor. He's the mighty God. There, John chapter 1 verse 3, I believe it is, says, "Without Him there was nothing made that is made. In the beginning, He was there." It says, "In the beginning, God." It was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So He is the mighty God. There was nothing that was made. No tree out here that we look at that was made by God, and all the trees were made by God. But as we look at them, Jesus had His hand in making that tree, in creating that tree. He's the mighty God. But if He's the mighty God, and we're down here, if He's talking way up here, and we don't understand it, then all we know is He's God, and that strikes fear in our hearts. I don't want to approach Him because I wouldn't even understand what He was saying. You know, there are certain things that Paul was spoken to, and he said, it's not legal. It's not. I can't even say what I saw because I couldn't express it anyway. But what God does is He came to this earth as a human. He came in flesh. He's experienced the things that you and I go through. Everything. He's experienced it. So therefore, when He gives you counsel, it's not just something that He read in a book. If there's any electronic engineers here, forgive me for what I'm about to say, but when I used to work at the utilities, we had some engineers that could take a piece of paper and draw a bank of transformers that would be hung on a pole, and they would draw where the lines attached, where they would go to. They knew everything, but you try to give them some cleats and have them climb that pole, and they wouldn't know how to put the cleats on. And I say that because I wouldn't know how to either. But they knew it. They knew it on paper. But when God speaks to us, He speaks to us from His own experience. Sometimes we say, "Well, I know how you feel," when you don't have any idea how somebody else is feeling. But when God says, "I know how you feel," He knows how you feel because He's been there. Not only has He been there, He is there now with you as you go through that. So He is the mighty God, but He's the everlasting Father, which draws us into relationship with Him. So therefore, we hear Him, and we know that everything that He says to us is said through love and compassion and mercy. And as a result of that, He is the Prince of Peace. We all know how it is to be in the presence of someone that, just to be in their presence, there is a sense of peace and comfort that overcomes you. We've probably all been in circumstances when it seemed things were turned upside down, and you look up and somebody walks in the door, somebody that has special meaning to you. And when they walk through that door, it's like, okay, it's going to be all right now. Can I tell you that there's one with you 24 hours a day? That when we say, "There He is," there's a peace that overcomes. There's a peace that takes away the turmoil. There's a peace that passes all understanding. There is a peace that keeps us, keeps our hearts and keeps our minds. And it's through this child that was born, the Son that was given, that holy thing who is the Son of God, and His name is Jesus. This precious time of the year that we celebrate the birth, I pray that for every one of us, we will be overwhelmed with wonder and amazement that God would come to this earth. One day when we enter into heaven's glory, I know we won't say this, but in my mind I've got this picture entering into glory and saying, "You left this to go down there?" And his answer would be, "Yes, I did. And I did it for you. All for you." And as my daddy used to say, if I was the only one, he still would have done it. If you were the only one, he still would have done it. He would have endured every bit of the harassment, the pain, the agony, the shame for you. He is the Prince of Peace. May we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us so much that you gave your Son. That child which was born some 2,000 years ago is indeed the Messiah. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He is our friend. He is the sustainer, provider. He is everything. He is all and in all. Help us, Lord. If we've lost the wonder, help us to regain it. If we've lost the amazement, Lord, help us to get it back. Help us to rejoice, not always in circumstances, but to rejoice in you. For you have said, "I'm with you." We ask these things with the total assurance of hope that you will perform it through Jesus Christ our Savior. And amen. So we stand this thing. If you have a desire for Goshen Primitive Baptist Church to be your church home, we give you the opportunity to come. Let your desires be made known and the church will wait upon you. Let's stand as we sing number 105.